Chapter 13. Now you know, clemency. Apostrophe, clemency only sighed, and shook her head. Well, well, wait till tomorrow, apostrophe said the lawyer, kindly. Tomorrow can't bring back the dead to life, mister, apostrophe said clemency, sobbing. No, it can't do that, or it would bring back Mr. Cracks, deceased, apostrophe returned the lawyer. But it may bring some soothing circumstances. It may bring some comfort. Wait till tomorrow. Apostrophe, so clemency, shaking his proffered hand, said she would. And Britain, who had been terribly cast down at sight of his despondent wife, which was like a business hanging its head, said that was right. And Mr. Snitchy and Michael Warden went upstairs. And there they were soon engaged in a conversation so cautiously conducted, that no murmur of it was audible above the clatter of plates and dishes, the hissing of the frying pan, the bubbling of saucepans, the low monotonous waltzing of the jack with a dreadful click every now and then as if it had met with some mortal accident to its head, in a fit of giddiness and all the other preparations in the kitchen for their dinner. Tomorrow was a bright and peaceful day, and nowhere were the autumn tints more beautifully seen than from the quiet orchard of the doctor's house. The snows of many winter nights had melted from that ground, the withered leaves of many summer times had rustled there since she had fled. The honeysuckle porch was green again, the trees cast bountiful and changing shadows on the grass, the landscape was as tranquil and serene as it had ever been. But where was she? Not there. Not there. She would have been a stranger sight in her old home now, even than that home had been at first, without her. But, a lady sat in the familiar place, from whose heart she had never passed away, in whose true memory she lived, unchanging, youthful, radiant with all promise and all hope, in whose affection, and it was a mother's now, there was a cherished little daughter playing by her side. She had no rival, no successor, upon whose gentle lips her name was trembling then. The spirit of the lost girl looked out of those eyes of Grace, her sister, sitting with her husband in the orchard, on their wedding day, and his and Marion's birthday. He had not become a great man, he had not grown rich, he had not forgotten the scenes and friends of his youth, he had not fulfilled any one of the doctor's old predictions. But, in his useful, patient, unknown visiting of poor men's homes, and in his watching of sick beds, and in his daily knowledge of the gentleness and goodness flowering the bypaths of this world, not to be trodden down beneath the heavy foot of poverty, but springing up, elastic, in its track, and making its way beautiful, he had better learned and proved, in each succeeding year, the truth of his old faith. The manner of his life, though quiet and remote, had shown him how often men still entertained angels, unawares, as in the olden time, and how the most unlikely forms, even some that were mean and ugly to the view, and poorly clad, became irradiated by the couch of sorrow, want, and pain, and changed to ministering spirits with a glory round their heads. He lived to better purpose on the altered battleground, perhaps, than if he had contended restlessly in more ambitious lists, and he was happy with his wife, dear Grace. And Marion. Had he forgotten her? The time has flown, dear Grace, apostrophe he said, since then, they had been talking of that night, and yet it seems a long, long while ago. We count by changes and events within us, not by years. Apostrophe, yet we have years to count by too, since Marion was with us, apostrophe returned Grace. 6 times, dear husband, counting tonight as one, we have sat here on her birthday, and spoken together of that happy return, so eagerly expected, and so long deferred. Ah, when will it be? When will it be? Apostrophe, her husband attentively observed her, as the tears collected in her eyes, and drawing nearer, said. But, Marion told you, in that farewell letter which she left for you upon your table, love, and which you read so often, that years must pass away before it could be. Did she not? Apostrophe, she took a letter from her breast, and kissed it, and said yes. apostrophe, that through these intervening years, however happy she might be, she would look forward to the time when you would meet again, and all would be made clear, and that she prayed you, trustfully and hopefully, to do the same. The letter runs so, does it not, my dear? ... Yes, Alfred. ... And every other letter she has written since? ... Except the last some months ago in which she spoke of you, and what you then knew, and what I was to learn tonight. ... He looked towards the sun, then fast declining, and said that the appointed time was sunset. Alfred. ... said Grace, laying her hand upon his shoulder earnestly. There is something in this letter, this old letter, which you say I read so often, that I have never told you. But, tonight, dear husband, with that sunset drawing near, and all our life seeming to soften and become hushed with the departing day, I cannot keep it secret. ... What is it, love? ... When Marian went away, she wrote me, here, that you had once left her a sacred trust to me, and that now she left you, Alfred, such a trust in my hands. Praying and beseeching me, as I loved her, and as I loved you, not to reject the affection she believed she knew, she said, you would transfer to me, when the new wound was healed, but to encourage and return it. ... And make me a proud, and happy man again, Grace. Did she say so? ... She meant, to make myself so blessed, and honored in your love, ... was his wife's answer, as he held her in his arms. Hear me, my dear. ... He said. No. Hear me so. ... And as he spoke, he gently laid the head she had raised, again upon his shoulder. I know why I have never heard this passage in the letter, until now. I know why no trace of it ever showed itself in any word or look of yours at that time. I know why Grace, although so true a friend to me, was hard to win to be my wife. And knowing it, my own. I know the priceless value of the heart I gird within my arms, and thank God for the rich possession. ... She wept, but not for sorrow, as he pressed her to his heart. After a brief space, he looked down at the child, who was sitting at their feet playing with a little basket of flowers, and bade her look how golden, and how red the sun was. ... said Grace, raising her head quickly at these words. The sun is going down. You have not forgotten what I am to know before it sets. ... You are to know the truth of Marian's history, my love, ... he answered. All the truth, ... she said, imploringly. Nothing veiled from me anymore. That was the promise. Was it not? ... It was, ... he answered. Before the sun went down on Marian's birthday. And you see it, Alfred? It is sinking fast. ... He put his arm about her waist, and, looking steadily into her eyes, rejoined. That truth is not reserved, so long for me to tell, dear Grace. It is to come from other lips. ... From other lips. ... She faintly echoed. Yes. I know your constant heart, I know how brave you are, I know that to you a word of preparation is enough. You have said, truly, that the time has come. It is. Tell me that you have present fortitude to bear a trial, a surprise, a shock. And the messenger is waiting at the gate. ... What messenger? ... She said. And what intelligence does he bring? ... I am pledged, ... he answered her, preserving his steady look, to say no more. Do you think you understand me? ... I am afraid to think, ... she said. There was that emotion in his face, despite its steady gaze, which frightened her. Again she hid her own face on his shoulder, trembling, and entreated him to pause a moment. Courage, my wife. When you have firmness to receive the messenger is waiting at the gate. The sun is setting on Marian's birthday. Courage, courage, Grace. ... She raised her head, and, looking at him, told him she was ready. As she stood and looked upon them going away, her face was so like Marian's as it had been in her later days at home, that it was wonderful to see. He took the child with him. She called her back. She bore the lost girl's name, and pressed her to her bosom. The little creature, being released again, sped after him, and Grace was left alone. She knew not what she dreaded, or what hoped, but remained there, motionless, looking at the porch by which they had disappeared. Ah! What was that, emerging from its shadow, standing on its threshold? That figure, with its white garments rustling in the evening air, its head laid down upon her father's breast, and pressed against it to his loving heart. Oh God! Was it a vision that came bursting from the old man's arms, and with a cry, and with a waving of its hands, and with a wild precipitation of itself upon her in its boundless love, sank down in her embrace? Oh, Marian, Marian! Oh, my sister! Oh, my heart's dear love! Oh, joy and happiness unutterable, so to meet again! Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was no dream, no phantom conjured up by hope and fear, but Marian, sweet Marian! So beautiful, so happy, so unalloyed by care and trial, so elevated and exalted in her loveliness, that as the setting sun shone brightly on her upturned face, she might have been a spirit visiting the earth upon some healing mission. Clinging to her sister, who had dropped upon a seat and bent down over her, and smiling through her tears and kneeling, close before her, with both arms twining round her, and never turning for an instant from her face, and with the glory of the setting sun upon her brow, and with the soft tranquility of evening gathering around them, Marian at length broke silence. Her voice, so calm, low, clear, and pleasant, well tuned to the time. When this was my dear home, Grace, as it will be now again, apostrophe, stay, my sweet love. A moment. Oh, Marian, to hear you speak again. Apostrophe, she could not bear the voice she loved so well, at first. When this was my dear home, Grace, as it will be now again, I loved him from my soul. I loved him most devotedly. I would have died for him, though I was so young. I never slighted his affection in my secret breast for one brief instant. It was far beyond all price to me. Although it is so long ago, and past, and gone, and everything is wholly changed, I could not bear to think that you, who love so well, should think I did not truly love him once. I never loved him better, Grace, than when he left this very scene upon this very day. I never loved him better, dear one, than I did that night when I left here. Apostrophe, her sister, bending over her, could look into her face, and hold her fast. But he had gained, unconsciously, apostrophe, said Marian, with a gentle smile, another heart, before I knew that I had one to give him. That heart yours, my sister, was so yielded up, in all its other tenderness, to me, was so devoted, and so noble, that it plucked its love away, and kept its secret from all eyes but mine. Ah! What other eyes were quickened by such tenderness and gratitude, and was content to sacrifice itself to me? But, I knew something of its depths. I knew the struggle it had made. I knew its high, inestimable worth to him, and his appreciation of it, let him love me as he would. I knew the debt I owed it. I had its great example every day before me. What you had done for me, I knew that I could do, Grace, if I would, for you. I never laid my head down on my pillow, but I prayed with tears to do it. I never laid my head down on my pillow, but I thought of Alfred's own words on the day of his departure, and how truly he had said, for I knew that, knowing you, that there were victories gained every day, in struggling hearts, to which these fields of battle were nothing. Thinking more and more upon the great endurance cheerfully sustained, and never known or cared for, that there must be, every day and hour, in that great strife of which he spoke, my trial seemed to grow light and easy. And he who knows our hearts, my dearest, at this moment, and who knows there is no drop of bitterness or grief of anything but unmixed happiness in mine, enabled me to make the resolution, that I never would be Alfred's wife. that he should be my brother and your husband if the course I took could bring that happy end to pass, but that I never would, Grace. I then loved him dearly, dearly. Be his wife. Apostrophe, O Marian. O Marian. Apostrophe, I had tried to seem indifferent to him. Apostrophe, and she pressed her sister's face against her own. But that was hard, and you were always his true advocate. I had tried to tell you of my resolution, but you would never hear me, you would never understand me. The time was drawing near for his return. I felt that I must act, before the daily intercourse between us was renewed. I knew that one great pang, undergone at that time, would save a lengthened agony to all of us. I knew that, if I went away then, that end must follow which has followed, and which has made us both so happy, Grace. I wrote to good Aunt Martha, for a refuge in her house. I did not then tell her all, but something of my story, and she freely promised it. While I was contesting that step with myself, and with my love of you, and home, Mr. Warden, brought here by an accident, became, for some time, our companion. Apostrophe, I have sometimes feared of late years, that this might have been, apostrophe, exclaimed her sister, and her countenance was ashy pale. You never loved him, and you married him in your self-sacrifice to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he was then, apostrophe, said Marian, drawing her sister closer to her, on the eve of going secretly away for a long time. He wrote to me, after leaving here, told me what his condition and prospects really were, and offered me his hand. He told me he had seen I was not happy in the prospect of Alfred's return. I believe he thought my heart had no part in that contract. Perhaps thought I might have loved him once, and did not then. Perhaps thought that when I tried to seem indifferent, I tried to hide indifference, I cannot tell. But I wished that you should feel me wholly lost to Alfred. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.